Well, another value that we have here at Baptist Community Church Burwood is the Bible. We value the Bible as God's authoritative word. We value its proper teaching and its proper application. And we're going to hear from God's word, the Bible, now. I'm going to bring two Bible readings this morning, and then Delilah's going to come and preach for us. Our first Bible reading today comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. I'll give you a minute to turn that up. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47 says the following. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Our second Bible reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. It says, Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Thanks, Delilah.
Thanks, John Drew. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. You should know that as a pastor, I just don't live here in the church. Some people think that I live in the church. I'm always here, but I do go around. I go to the shops. I go to Woolworths. I go to Coles. I go to Costco whenever I can. I go to the Henley Park to do a bit of walk. I go to the dog park, taking Benji for a walk. I go to my doctor. I need to go and get a haircut, so I'll be going to my barber very soon. And I also regularly frequent a couple of cafes. Just one up here called Antique Cherry, good cafe, and one up at the Flower Power, the cafe there. Now, why am I saying all this? Why am I saying all these? Now, when you walked in this morning, you would have received a card. I don't have a card with me, but you would have received a card. Can somebody wave one? There you go. Card like this and a pen. What I want you to do is think about all the places. I think I've got a slide there. There you go. Write down all the places, spaces that you go to during the week. Just write as many places as possible, right? You don't have to write your name, just the spaces and the places that you have access to. Where do you go to? Regularly. Not just last week, regularly. I'll give you a couple of minutes or a minute to do that. And once you've done that, somebody will be coming around to collect those cards. We're going to pin it to the board. So that's why we don't want you to write your name. Did you have many places? Did you have many places that you usually go to? Not many? Some did, some didn't. For some of us, it may be just the doctor's room every day. Some of us, it'll be Bunnings, like for me. So these guys who put it up, you'll recognize why in a moment, why we are doing this morning. Yep, we'll give you a moment. Maybe while they do that, I'll keep on with my sermon. Now, I'll ask you a question. Who remembers our mission statement? Yeah? Because a few weeks ago, we looked at our mission, didn't we? It said, guided and empowered by Holy Spirit, our mission is to glorify God by living as Jesus' followers and witnesses. We want to be glorifying God. What would it look like when we live out this mission? What would it look like when we live out this mission? What would we be doing if we live out this mission? And that is what we called our vision, isn't it? Our vision. Our vision. And I'm going to ask you the next question. What is our vision? Who remembers? We looked at it last week. That is our vision, isn't it? Our vision is of a spirit-filled, Christ-centered community where people of all ages, John, you talked about that day today, having all ages represented in the church, children, and nations are learning the good news, sharing the good news, loving people both in and beyond our community, depending on God, and worshiping Him. That is our vision, isn't it? Last week, if you were here, we looked at our first vision picture, which is that we want to be a learning community. We are learning the good news of Jesus. And we said we learn the good news of Jesus from teachers, from the Bible, from one another, and most importantly, the Holy Spirit teaching us the good news of Jesus. But then we recognize we are not just called to learn the good news. We are not just called to fill our heads and our minds with the good news about Jesus. No, we are called to share the good news. We are called to share the good news. And this is our second vision picture, sharing the good news. Because when we glorify God by being Jesus' disciples or followers and witnesses, we will share the good news of Jesus. And this is what we are going to think about this morning. What does it look like to be a community who shares the good news of Jesus? What would we be doing if we are sharing the good news of Jesus? Now you might be thinking here, well, what exactly is this good news that we are meant to share? What exactly is this good news that we meant to share? If you remember, the Apostle John wrote in this one of the well-known Bible verses, and he sums it up in John chapter 3:16, right? That God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, this good news tells us that. In Jesus, sinners are forgiven, no longer condemned. In Jesus, that we have an eternal relationship with God, our Father, and we become His sons and daughters. That in Jesus, we have been made new. We've been given a brand new life. That in Jesus, death has been defeated. And the only thing that this good news tells us is for us to do is to believe in Jesus. And this is what we call the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, you may remember, wrote that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Why? Because in it is the power of God to save sinners. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to talk about Jesus dying on a cross. This amazing, life-transforming, history-altering, powerful message is what we are called to share, isn't it? So how do we share the good news of Jesus? How do we share the good news of Jesus? How did Jesus see us doing this? In the Great Commission, we read that this morning, Jesus' final instructions to his disciples were, "All right, guys, you've seen me die, rise back to life, just enjoy life. You got the ticket to heaven, just be at home and just enjoy, come to church, listen to a sermon and few hymns and enjoy morning tea. There's chocolate cake downstairs today, so enjoy all those and just go home." No, he didn't say that. What did he say? He says, "Go. Go and make disciples." In Mark chapter 16, we hear the same commandment, don't we? Go into all the world and share the good news. In other words, friends, Jesus saw us sharing the good news of him by being a sent community. By being a sent community. In fact, if you trace the Bible, God's people have always been sent people. In Genesis chapter 12, you remember Abraham. God calls him and says, "Okay, go." God sends him to another land. He says, "I will bless you and I will make you a blessing to the nations." And then you see the people of Israel, they are sent to Egypt first, and then they come back, they are sent to the promised land, and then they are sent to Babylon to exile, and they are sent back to the promised land. And then we see people like Esther, Queen Esther. She's sent to the king's palace to be the queen of a pagan king. What about Jonah? Remember him, God sending him to Nineveh with the good news. Well, it started with the bad news, but it became the good news. And then when we come to the New Testament, we see Jesus, don't we? God sent Jesus, God the Father. Sent Jesus, his son, to be the savior of the world. God's been sending his people. And what does Jesus do? He says, "Just as the Father sent me, I send you. I send you." And the book of Acts is the story of the first church. And you see how God is sending people from Jerusalem. When they were getting comfortable in Jerusalem, he even breaks out a persecution. He lets that break out, this persecution, so that the people are sent out of the church to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth, isn't it? And the Apostle Paul, he uses these words. He says, "You are Christ's ambassadors." Now, ambassadors, have you ever seen an ambassador stay in their own country? No, they're sent to another country, to a foreign country, where they will become ambassadors. They'll represent their home country. I hope you're getting a little bit of a sense of that we are called to be a sent community. It is not something that Jesus just made up on the go. It is not something that we as a church or I as the pastor made up. No, it is what God always wanted his people to be, a sent community. And this is what we are here at Baptist Community Church, Burwood. a sent community as we live out our mission to glorify God. You might be asking, where are we sent? Where did the first disciples go? Some went to Jewish synagogues, the Jewish temples. Some went to cities where there were no Christians at all. Some went to places where there were hostility for the gospel. You may remember Philip, one of the disciples. God sends him to a desert road to meet an Ethiopian eunuch. The first disciples, they went to people's houses, and when they couldn't find a place to meet, they went to a side of the river in Philippi. In Athens, they went to a community hall. In Ephesus, they went to a university lecture hall. And the Apostle Paul, he went, of all the places, he was sent to the prison, wasn't he? And there he preached the gospel to the prisoners. Now what about us? What about us here at Baptist Community Church Bode? Now let me tell you, you guys wrote it down. Right? Some of us are sent to the CBD in the city. Blue Mountains, Katoomba. There you go. A lot of people are sent to the CBD. And we've got people at home, offices, Coles, Woolworths, Westfield Shops, Flower Power. There you go. I go there always. School, Henley Park, Bode Park. You get the picture, isn't it? Whether you go to your workplace, your schools, your gym, your neighborhood, your street, your men's shed, your supermarket, your doctor's room, the cafe or the apartment block that you live. This is where God has sent you, sent us, isn't it? So you see, you don't have to do anything unusual. You don't have to add something extra to your already busy life. You don't have to go overseas. You don't have to learn a language. Because you are already in your mission field. God has already sent you there, equipped you there, equipped you with the language, the work, the visas and everything, isn't it? But for some of you, God may use you to go overseas. So you will have to learn languages and get visas and stuff. But some of us, you have come from overseas. You may be here to study or have a good life. But this is your mission field. God has brought you here. And because we are a sent community and through us, God wants to share the good news of Jesus. I mean, he doesn't have to, right? But he does, graciously. See what the Apostle Paul says? He says, you are jars of clay. And in you, God has placed this treasure, this powerful gospel. Why does he use jars of clay? It's common. It's rough. It'll break. It's just an everyday thing, isn't it? It's not porcelain or your china in your cabinet. No, jars of clay. That's who we are. But what does it look like to be a sent community? What does it look like, or what would we be doing if we are a sent community? I want to pick up 6 things briefly. One of the things that we would be doing certainly is we will be proclaiming the gospel boldly, isn't it? The gospel of Jesus. Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, when I came to you, I did not bring these eloquent words. I did not bring like this wisdom, the philosophies. I did not come with persuasive words. And he says, I came and preached to you Christ crucified, a stumbling block for the Jews and foolishness for the Gentiles. We don't need to add anything to the gospel of Jesus to make it nice. We don't need to reduce anything to the gospel of Jesus to sound it, make it attractive. No, Jesus is enough. Like Paul, we must not be ashamed to tell that Jesus died for me and Jesus died for you, and because of him, we are saved. And how might we be proclaiming the gospel? We might do that up front at a church or an evangelistic meeting where you talk to people who are not believers. We might do that by sharing our stories, our testimonies with people. We might do that by reading the Bible with people around us. And we must be sure to share this good news of Jesus with anyone and everyone. Children, young, old, male, female, people from every nation, because everyone needs to hear the gospel. And friends, when we are a sent community, we strive to live transformed lives, don't we? Paul writes to the Roman church, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Friends, if we take this gospel, if we are telling people like this gospel of Jesus, this good news of Jesus is changing lives, which means our lives need to change. It must show in the way we live, the way we speak, the way we make decisions. It must show in the work ethic. It must show in our attitudes. In other words, we must strive to imitate Jesus in all what we say and do. When we are a sent community, we look for gospel opportunities, don't we? We create gospel opportunities. That doesn't mean we each time when we see someone who doesn't believe, we go and bash them with the Bible. No, we don't do that. We create opportunities. Creating opportunities may mean becoming friends with people around you, getting to know your neighbors, asking questions about their faith, their beliefs, their worldview, so that they might ask you, so what do you believe? Perhaps inviting people to your home. Or accepting invitations that you might receive from your neighbors who are non-Christians to attend to their places. Just be nice to people. Just be nice. Be kind to people at your supermarket checkout. The receptionist at your doctor's place. Be nice. Take time to say hello to strangers, because you don't know what opportunities God might bring. Hey, when we are a sent community, we pray. That is one of our values, isn't it? And Paul says to the Colossian church, he says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Paul is in prison. Perhaps he's saying, well, pray that I will have opportunities to share the gospel with the guards. Maybe with the emperor. Pray for our communities, our neighbors, our workplaces, schools, that they will stay open for the gospel. You must pray for opportunities to have those God conversations with people that we work with, People that we see maybe very regularly. We must pray that God will open their hearts. And we must pray for one another, isn't it? I mean, sitting right next to you is a missionary. Did you realize that? He's a missionary. So what I'm not going to ask you to do right now is actually pray for the person next to you. Pray that God might give them wisdom, that they can be a good missionary this week. So why don't you take a minute to pray for the person next to you? Okay? Pray for the person next to you that they might be a good sent person this week. Let's do that. Amen. Prayer is important, isn't it, friends? Just remember to do that during the week. Pray for fellow believers because they, just like you, are going to a mission field. Pray for God to open doors because without God, friends, without God going with us, without God opening doors, we're just wasting our time. When we are a sent community, We love the lost. We must love the lost. If you are praying for those who don't know Jesus yet, then the natural outcome of our praying would be that we love them. We love our community. We love our workplaces. We love going to work because we are going to meet people whom we can share the gospel, whom we can be Jesus to. We love our neighbors. A few weeks ago, we looked at loving our neighbors, and Ed very helpfully explained that day when we love our neighbors, the first thing that we must do is we must be neighbors to them. We must become good neighbors. And when we love those who don't know Jesus yet, we look for opportunities. We pray for opportunities. And if we love them, we will want to share the good news of Jesus. Because we know without Jesus, they are lost. They are lost. And finally, when we are a sent community, we think as sent ones. Oh, this is big, isn't it? We need to change the way we think. We think as sent ones. And when we are thinking as sent ones, and when we are thinking that wherever we are is our mission field, it has impact on everything, isn't it? I'll give you a few examples. Think about that you're moving suburbs or you're buying a new house. And you're thinking, well, all the neighbors you're going to meet. The opportunities you might have to share the good news of Jesus. The opportunities that you might have to show Jesus. You might be looking for a suburb where there is no church, that you can plant a church perhaps. Or you can be part of a church that is sharing the gospel. And when we are thinking of sending our kids to school, we think of opportunities that we might have with all those parents and teachers and the school who have people who don't know Jesus. And when you choose what to study for higher studies or universities, you're not just thinking about your career path. No, you're thinking, how would God be glorified? How is God going to use this what I'm studying to share the gospel with people? What sort of opportunities will I have if I choose this path, this stream of studies? And when you look for work, rather than thinking about the package and the convenience and the workload, we begin to think about the number of non-Christians we're going to face. And perhaps when you're thinking of going to the hospital or to your doctor, you're thinking, oh my goodness, what sort of conversation I'm going to have with the nurse today? Can I talk something about God? You're looking for those opportunities, isn't it? And when you're planning to retire from work, instead of worrying what you're going to do, you begin to think of the time and the energy that is there so you can do something to connect with people, to create gospel opportunities. You find things that will give you opportunities to interact with non-Christians. I can go on, isn't it? I can go on and on and on, and you can think about all the opportunities, all the situations that will have an impact when you start thinking about being sent. So friends, when we are a sent community, we think and behave as sent ones. We recognize wherever God has placed us is His mission field for us. Have you believed in Jesus? If you have, then you are a sent one to wherever you are. So friends, as we live out our mission to glorify God by being followers and witnesses of Jesus, we will share the good news of Jesus. And God calls us to do this by being a sent community who boldly proclaims the gospel, who tries to live transformed lives, create gospel opportunities, who prays, who thinks, who loves as sent people. And as we do, there's no doubt that God is going to be glorified, because it is His mission that we are part of, isn't it? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for this morning, for reminding us who we are. Lord, you've saved us. You've given your Son Jesus to die for us. Lord, now you send us. Lord, as we look at these many, many, many places in this board, Lord, we think of the vast mission field that here at Burwood Baptist Church that you have given us. Lord, we are all, each one of us is a missionary to the places that you have sent us. So help us, Lord, to see who we are and to see where we are, and Lord, to live lives that bring honor and glory to you by being followers and witnesses of Jesus, by being a sent community. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.